as God's children, His purpose in our heart, that we're going to put Him first.
Amen.
He don't want to be second. Matter of fact, He's not going to take second place in your life and in my life. If we want the blessings of God. Amen. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 19, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Let everyone that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, patience with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance, to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snares of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than the lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they, which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no farther, for their folly shall be manifested unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Let's pray. Father, and our God, we come to your throne of grace. Lord, this morning we have read a portion of your word, Lord, that carries some great truth. God, would you help us for a few moments, dear God, to just pick out and point out some things that's in your word that would be a help to us today. Lord, this morning you know the need that you're. God, there are some people, dear God, needs to be encouraged. There are some that needs to be rebuked. There are some, Heavenly Father, that just needs to get saved. Some, dear God, needs to be encouraged once again that's been discouraged. And so, Lord, help us to realize the time of our lives that we're in and the time of this old world that we're living in. I believe it's drawing close to your return. So, Lord, help us to be what we should be as your children. Paul talked about in his word that you and I, as God's children, need to realize that we have a sure foundation. And can I point out to you here in verse number 19 of chapter 2, I want to call your attention back there. But before I read to you verse 19, I want to back up to verse number 17, verse 17 and 18. Talking about some men that had not done what they should have done. They were ungodly men, and they were babblers, and they were men that were increased in more ungodliness. So verse 17 says, "And their words will eat as doeth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrown the faith of some." Can I tell you that there's a lot of people today that's overthrowing the faith of some of God's people. You and I need to learn to rightly divide the word of truth. We need to stand in the old paths, in the old ways. And just as Jeremiah stood, the Lord had told him to stand and see and look and ask for the old paths. And when the people, that was in the days of Jeremiah's day, when old Jeremiah told them to seek for the old paths and walk therein, you know what they said to him? They said, "We're not going to walk that way. We're going to live the way that we want to. We're going to go the way we want to, and we're going to do what we want to do. And I don't care what the Word of God says. I don't care what God says. I'm going to live the way I want to." Well, you can do that. But know this. Out there in your future and out there in my future, there's coming a day you're going to face the judge of all this earth. And my friend, I want you to know there's not one thing that's going to be hid from God. He'll bring her all out, amen. All your dirty laundry is going to be aired, bless God. It'll be out in the open, and I want you to know you're not going to get away with anything. You'll not hide anything from the God of heaven and earth, amen. So just go ahead and do what you want to do, but know this, there's coming a day he's going to judge you, and by the way, he's going to judge me, amen. And so Paul said to the church there, when he wrote to the book there in the book of Ephesus, he said there unto them that they were to walk worthily of the vocation wherein they were called. You know, you and I need to walk in such a way that the world out there can see Christ in here, amen. That's what we need to do. A lot of people, they think they come to church to serve the Lord. No, friend, you got it all wrong. You don't come to church to serve the Lord. Some people just seem to think that they go to church on Sunday morning and they done God a favor and they served them for that week. But I want you to know, you don't go to church to serve the Lord. You go to church to worship Him, amen. There's enough of this old dead ungodly stuff today going on. We need some people to go to church, come to the house of God, lift up their voices and praise Him and worship Him who loved you and gave Himself for you. Bless God. That's what we need. Then we ought to go outside the walls of the church and serve Him out yonder where it's going to count. Amen. He said here, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Now I want you to know something, regardless of what you do, regardless of what I do, the foundation of God's going to stand sure. You mark her down. You're not going to tear down the foundation of God. But I want you to know, my friend, the Rock of Ages is a good place to get anchored into. Amen. That's what we need. And so, he said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, Timothy. He said, having this seal. Bless God, I want you to know it's signed, sealed, and delivered. God has given us His Word. You can rest assured upon it. You can stand upon it. When this whole world's on fire, when she's burned up, the Word of God's still going to be around. It's settled in heaven, amen. He said here, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The seal is that the Lord knoweth them that are His. You and I need to realize that there is someone that knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. He knows whether or not Tom Queen's saved, and He knows whether or not you're saved. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Now, I want you to know something. Just like that shepherd over there in the what we call the Holy Land, those shepherds, when they call their sheep, they hear their shepherd's voice, amen. And a stranger they'll not follow, amen. And you and I need to realize when the Lord calls His sheep, they're going to follow Him, amen. They'll hear His voice. They'll know His voice. And they're going to follow, amen. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Now, I want you to know you can be a hypocrite. You can pretend to be. And I want you to know, my friend, there's still somebody up there sitting at the right hand of the Father that sees, that knows. And I want you to know if you're playing games with God, God's through and playing games. The next thing on God's calendar, the next major event on God's calendar is the trump of God's going to sound. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds in the air to meet the Lord. And you say, when could that happen, preacher? Well, it could happen before I get through preaching this morning, amen. You say, well, preacher, there are some things to be fulfilled yet. Well, I'd like to sit down with you and you show me one of them that has to be fulfilled before the rapture of the church takes place, amen. I believe we're just waiting till the Father says, come. Down here and take your children home. Amen. I don't know about you. I'm looking for that. I'm looking for the Lord to come. Matter of fact, I've been praying for Him to come. Matter of fact, this would be a good day for Him to come. It'd be a good time for Him to take us out of here. And I rejoice in what He's done for this old boy. But I'll tell you what, I'm getting more over on the other side than I've left with down here, amen. I've got a dear old wife. She's done gone on to be with the Lord. I've got a mom and a dad and some grandpas and grandmas and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters, and I want you to know that they're over on the other side, and they're a part of that great cloud of witnesses that's saying, keep on, go on, don't quit. Hey, I want you to know you ought not quit on God. You ought to serve God out of a heart of love. You ought to make your life come for Him while you can, amen. It's what you need to do. So Paul said to young Timothy, he said, son, I want you to know, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And he said, let everyone that name... Let me see if I'm getting this right now. Look at it real close with me, if you would, please. The last part of that verse. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Hey, I want you to know that God does not give you permission to sin. Now listen to me. God don't even want you to sin. But I do want you to know that God knows you are flesh and that you're weak. I do want you to know that God has made provisions in His Word if you happen to sin. If you'll confess that sin and plead the blood of Christ, I want you to know that God will forgive you of that sin. I want you to know that you've got somebody seated up yonder at the right hand of the Father, and He is there as your lawyer, amen. And bless God, you don't need a priest down here with his collar turned around backwards. What you need is to go to the priest of all the believers, amen. You can enter into the very throne room of God. You can get a hold of God, but you'll have to do it through your priest, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, he said, let everyone. He didn't say a few. If you're going to get a hold of God, if you're going to walk with God, now listen to me. Amos said, how can two walk together except they be in agreement? Now, can I tell you, you're not going to walk with God unless you agree with God.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you something. God didn't get on your side. You might say, well, I've got God on my side. Well, you better be on His side. Amen? If you're going to walk with God, you're going to walk by faith. And if you're going to walk with God, you can't hold on to the world with one hand and hold on to the Lord with the other. You know why? Because He's walking in the opposite direction that the world's going. So you're going to have to turn loose of the world and reach out by faith and claim the promises of God, walk with God in the light of His Word, and be what God would have you to be. Now listen here. The Bible says, you're in verse 20 of this chapter 2, He said, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Now I want you to know something. Any of you ladies that's got a kitchen in your house, your kitchen is not complete without a garbage can. Your house is not complete in your bathroom without a commode. They are some vessels of honor and some of dishonor. But I want you to know they're all necessary for you and for me as a child of God. And God wants me and you to be what we ought to be for His name and for His honor and for His glory, and be different than the world. He said here, well, before I read anything else, let me say this. garbage can for the kitchen is like your prayer life. If you don't have a prayer life, you're going to have a lot of garbage. You're going to have a lot of garbage in your life. You're going to have a lot of garbage in your home. You're going to have a lot of garbage all around you without a prayer life. Now, my friend, you need to get your prayer life where it ought to be. The Bible says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We need to come out from the world and be separated from the world, bless God. I want you to know, if you're going to walk with Him, the world will have no claim upon you. He said here about that great house. Can I tell you that you and I are His house?
Yes, sir.
He does not dwell in houses of brick and stone and wood and plaster, but He dwells in your heart and in my heart. I want you to know He lives. You know where the kingdom of God is? It comes not with observation. The kingdom of God is within you. And I want you to know, my friend, that great house that Paul was telling Timothy about. I know that we can look at an earthly house, but I want you to know you and I are the temple of God. You and I ought to be different from the world, amen. You and I ought to walk different than the world. We ought to smell different than the world. The world out there, you see, some people that are saved, they have to go around telling people all the time, I'm a child of God. I've been saved. But there's some people that you've seen that's walking with God and serving God and living for God, and you see them outside somewhere out from the church, and you look at them and you say, I wonder where they go to church at. I wonder what a church that they're a member of. Because that they can see a difference in them by the way they walk, by the way they talk, by the way they dress, amen. They know there's a difference in them. I don't want to be one of them that they've got to wonder whether or not I'm saved. I want them to know by my language, by my walk, by my dress. You'll understand it better. Just let God come in, take over, and put some things in your life. And when He puts some things in your life, He said, well, this don't belong here. Takes it out. And puts something else in. Put something in good for it. The reason God can't fill a lot of people with His Spirit is because it's already filled with a bunch of junk. Look here in verse number 21. If a man, therefore, purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor. Let me ask you, do you want to be a vessel of honor? Do you want to be somebody that God can use? That's what it's talking about here. A vessel of honor. I don't know about you, I want to be a vessel of honor. But I'm going to tell you something. Every time I get up to preach, not everybody likes to hear what Tom Queen's got to say. And some people ask Tom Queen for advice. Some of them don't like the advice that I give them. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not trying to give them the advice that Tom Queen would give. I want to give them the advice that God would have them know. And you and I need to give people advice from the Word of God, where they'll know what God says about a subject and about a thing, instead of, well, Brother Queen said this and Brother Queen said that, and you ought to say, no, God, Brother Queen showed me what God said that I ought to do and how I ought to live from the Word of God. You want to be a vessel of honor? Here he said, if any man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified. Now you're looking at an old preacher up here who believes in sanctification. It's a forgotten doctrine in our churches, brothers. Can I tell you there's two sides to sanctification? Huh? Jesus Christ is my sanctification and your sanctification. Positionally. Did you hear that? I said positionally. Your private property. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. He owns you. Lock, stock, and barrel. He bought and paid for you. The blood of Christ is what washed away your sins. And you become His. Amen. He said, let everyone that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Amen. He said here, sanctification. I said I believe in sanctification. There's another side to sanctification. When Paul said to the church at Corinth there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, when he said, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing. He began to tell them down through there what they ought to do and what they ought not to do, and mostly what they ought not do. But then he said there in chapter 7, in verse 1, personally I think verse 7, or verse 1 of chapter 7 it is, goes right along with chapter 6, verse 14, down through the end of the chapter there. Verse 1 of chapter 7 says, therefore, my dearly beloved brethren, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So he said here to young Timothy, he said, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use. Now listen, if I ever come to your home and I ask you for a drink of water, and you go to your sink and you got a pile of dirty glasses there in your sink, and you pick up one of them dirty glasses and put water in it and bring it to me, I think I'd just lose my thirst at that time for a while. Now listen to me. If you're going to present your body to the Lord, it's going to have to be sanctified and meet for His use.
That's right. Amen. That's good preaching.
He's not going to use a dirty vessel. Did you hear me?
Yes.
He cannot. Because if He did, He'd go contrary to His Word. And God ain't going contrary to His Word. So you and I, as God's children, we need to be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Do you see that? I believe we ought to work not because we have to do it in order to be saved. I believe we do it because we are saved. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship. When I got saved and when you got saved, He set up a workshop in your heart and in your life. And He began to work in us. You're looking at an unfinished product. And I'm looking at some unfinished products. But I want you to know one of these days, when He gets finished, we'll be conformed unto His image. And I tell you, that'll not take place in this life. But that doesn't mean we should not strive to be that way. Those folk down there at Antioch, Paul, Silas, or Barnabas it is, they worked and taught and preached the Word of God. And those people, they listened to what the Apostle Paul taught them and told them, and Barnabas. And I want you to know that those men, after that they had been there about a year and a half or so, the people around about them said, "These are Christians." They didn't call themselves Christians. But those that was around them, they that were among them, they said, "These are Christians."
Yeah.
Now listen, the word Christian means Christ-like.
Yes.
And only three times in your Bible is the word Christian mentioned. I got about 5, maybe 7 minutes here. But I want to point out some things here. He said, now listen, young people, there are some things that will bother you young men and you young girls that will not bother us old men.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you pay attention to what you're going to read right here in verse 22. "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness." Young people, make your life count for Jesus. Live for the Lord. Serve the Lord. Do what God would have you to do and be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness." Now here, young people, this is what you're to do. You're to flee youthful lust. You're to follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. There's no need of this fussing and going on amongst yourselves. Amen? Peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolishness, there is a lot of foolishness going on today in a lot of people's lives that they need to get rid of. But there's a lot of people ask a lot of foolish questions and unlearned questions. He said, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid." Now, Paul's writing to a young man here. He said, "Knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth." You know, there's a lot of things that needs to be said about repentance. There's some people needs to turn from some things in their life. They need to turn away from thee. They need to serve the Lord out of a heart of love. They need to be different than the world, bless God. Let me tell you something. You can't serve God with the world hanging all over you. And then he said in verse 25 here, "In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance." Look at that. Will give them repentance. You know what Judas Iscariot done when he had betrayed the Lord and sold him for 30 pieces of silver? Did you know there's three different kinds of repentance? You say, "What do you mean, preacher?" Well, I'm going to mention them briefly. There's a false repentance. Somebody gets sorry because they got caught in their sin. They may boo-hoo and cry like Esau did, but to no avail. Or they may be like Judas Iscariot was. God did not grant him repentance. He repented too late. And then there is a true repentance that'll work godly sorrow in your heart. And it'll be a repentance that needs not to be repented of. Amen? Now listen, I want to read here this next verse. It said, to the acknowledgement of the truth is the last phrase there in verse 25. He said, and that they may recover themselves. Out of the snares of the devil. You young people, listen, Brother Queen. You older ones, both. You get out here and get to playing around in the world and acting like the world and doing like the world, and the devil is going to lay his hooks in you and he'll snare you. He'll bind you. He'll rob you of your testimony. He'll rob you of the peace of God. He'll rob you of the joy of the Lord. And you'll be a miserable person.
Yes, you're right.
He said here, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him. Not at your will, but at His will. Would you look that? At His will. Can I tell you, you're no match for the devil. I'm no match for the devil. And if it wasn't for the hedge that God put around Tom Queen, and you. And you know, a lot of times God's people, you know what they want to do? They want to break through the hedge that God puts around about them. Did you know that the Bible says if a man breaks through the hedge, and I believe it's referring to the hedge of God, that they're going to be bitten by the serpent. I'm through.
God bless you.